This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's rock and roll. Hour number three of our radio program. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio, coast to coast. Hit us up as always, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter as well, at Zach Yelp, at CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. And now welcome into the program Mark Ross, the former Vice President of Player Evaluation and Director of College Scouting for the New York Football Giants. And now Mark is an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter very easily, at Mark Ross. And 30 minutes editions of NFL Total Access air Monday through Friday on the NFL Network at 7 p.m. Eastern. Mark, appreciate a few minutes. How you been? How your family holding up?
We're staying safe here, Zach. Just trying to stay inside and heed all the warnings to be safe and all that stuff. So a little different times here in New York City. I'm in the Jersey area, so it's a little scary, but we got to make it through.
No doubt about that. As a New Yorker myself, I could definitely attest to that. But hopefully sooner rather than later, we get back to a state of normalcy, and we'll be hoping for that and really wishing that occurs very soon. Let me ask you this, though. There's all this conversation, all this chatter. Should the NFL draft happen at the end of the month? What's your feel? What's your opinion? Should the NFL still have their draft at the end of the month?
You know, Zach, it's a tricky question. I think the preparation going up to the draft, you can still do most of that stuff as far as being in contact with the players. Obviously, the physicals for the non-combine players are a little bit difficult, but we would always call the trainers from the teams to get information, so that won't be a big deal. The biggest aspect will be actually draft nights and draft day, the 3 days, as far as the communication amongst the front office and the personnel departments with the Giants. We would almost have many scouting meetings throughout the draft when we're about to be on the clock. So there's communication. Just imagine 30 people in a room, 20 people in a room, talking and conversing continuously. With Philadelphia and Buffalo, we kind of had a smaller group of people who talked about the draft, but the scouts were still a major part of it, where you kind of ask them questions, always be involved with it. So that's going to be the major part where it'll be very difficult to see how they'll figure out that with the stay-in-place orders with different states and how they're going to manage that. Because as we know, Zoom, you're not going to be able to communicate with each other efficiently on Zoom or FaceTime or those things. So I think with that matter, I want to push it back until they figure out a better way to communicate during draft nights and draft day.
Yeah, but then the difficult part about this is it's such an unknown with what we're operating with right now. We never know when we're going to return to normal. So if you push it back, you don't even know how much of a benefit it may be, Mark.
You know, that's true. I mean, you just have to kind of go by the other countries that have had it and the timetable that they were able to get back to a normal way of life and a normal business life and kind of go by that, use that as a judge. Of course, I'm not a medical expert. Seems like no one really knows what's going on, but if we can seem to get it under control and get a handle, you think at some point they will get it under control and be able to get back to somewhat normal, and at that point, maybe it'll be easier to get everyone together to hold the draft.
Mark Ross here with us on the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mark, if you were in a front office still and there's a player with a character concern or a medical concern and now the process is a little bit different, but there's a way around it, How would you approach that situation and within your preparation right now from now until the end of the month?
Well, usually if you had someone who had a character issue, but you bring them into your building, or you'd have your scouts or a coach or someone go to meet with them. But this type of work should have been done actually throughout the year. You should really have a good handle on those players from the work the scouts did. They start in August and go all the way to December, pro days, all-star games and whatnot, where they should have already been on top of these issues. And you're really going to have to trust those guys and the work that they put in the fall, talking about the scouts, with the information that they gathered. They had the opportunity at the combine, had the opportunity at the all-star games. So at this point, it's really just kind of fine-tuning a couple players here and there. But for the most part, if you've got really good scouts who can get information, you should have had that.
We read today that Tua Tagovailoa did undergo a medical recheck, and they had overwhelmingly positive results. If you were an NFL general manager, if you were still in the scouting world in a front office, would you take Tua if he was available in that top five, top 10? We know the talent, but there are those medical concerns.
Yeah, he is one, if he's not a seventh-round pick or a sixth, seventh-round pick, a free agent after the draft, you're talking about a top 10 pick who's had a lengthy injury history, and he is really the type that would have been at anyone in the top 10's facility. They would have brought them in despite being at the combine, despite independent checks. Any of those high-profile players, you want to have those guys in your building, at your hospitals, with your team doctors, with your team trainers, just to make sure. So those high-profile guys were the ones that would have gotten the most exposure and lookovers by the teams. It seems like someone will roll the dice just because so many teams believe overwhelmingly that he is that generational type of prospect. So I don't think it really affects him at all at this point.
Mark Ross here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. There's so much positivity with Tua Tagovailoa with what you saw in college. There are those medical concerns like we're talking about. But if we were having this conversation last year and looking ahead to what is now the 2020 NFL draft, many would have thought, if not all, that Tua would have been the number one overall pick. Then you had the rise of Joe Burrow. In your opinion, let's throw a hypothetical out there. If Tua never got hurt and he played a healthy year this year, is Joe Burrow the number one overall pick, or is it Tua Tagovailoa in your mind?
I like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow better. I just believe that he doesn't have the 3 years body of work that Tua had, but he just had this 1 year. But it was a magical year, a historic year that Joe Burrow had, and just the efficiency. And what really impressed me about Joe was throughout the year he just kept getting better, and the bigger games he made big plays, and that's what you want to see in your quarterback, the Super Bowl being an example. Patrick Mahomes made big plays. When Jimmy G had a chance to make one, he didn't make it. And if you look at historically what separates great quarterbacks is that ability to make those pressure out of the pocket. And Joe Burrow, that stretch run that he had was really phenomenal, where early in the season it seemed like he may be a system quarterback, but the bigger the games, the bigger the stakes, he became an unbelievable playmaker against pressure. And on his own, and that's what really, I thought, separated him from Tua.
I like Joe Burrow the person. I also love Joe Burrow the quarterback. I love Tua the person. I love Tua the quarterback, too. But when we look at Joe, with it just only being 1 year, and it's arguably the greatest year we've ever seen from the college quarterback position, are there at all any concerns, Mark Ross, with only seeing that 1 year of dominance?
You know, with a quarterback, you always like to see years of production and high level play throughout a few years. But Joe did play as a junior. People forget he actually did play last, the year before.
Sure.
As if he didn't come out of anywhere. So he did actually play, and it wasn't bad. He just wasn't the first pick in the draft. Phenomenal. But the way he, some guys just break the mold of, okay, there's never been this or never been that, when Cam Newton's and last year Baker Mayfield wasn't projected to be the first pick last year, wasn't supposed to be the first pick of a 5'10 guy. So every year there's guys that kind of break the mold of what never has happened before. And I think with Joe, with such an exceptional year and the traits that he shows throughout the year on and off the field, I think he is going to break the mold of, there's never been a guy that got beat out at a school twice and then transferred and only had one really great year.
Mark Ross here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, formerly of the Giants, now with the NFL Network. Mark, if the Dolphins call you up and they offer three first-round picks and then maybe a second-round pick as well, if you're the Bengals, would you pass up drafting Joe Burrow to get those three first-round picks if that's the main part of the framework of a deal?
Three firsts and another one. I mean, yeah, that would be real hard to pass up. You know, as much as it just depends on how much they think Joe can transform the organization right now and what ceiling they have on other quarterbacks in the draft this year. So that, you know, they may be sitting there at five and feel like they can get someone else they really like on the same type of level or can make the same type of impact with the team. So, you know, if you're just talking about flipping ones and giving it two, you're like, no, but the more value you put into those picks, and if you're talking about three ones and another pick, then you really have to consider it, and you might have to do it.
And the reason I ask it, because, you know, Miami has three first-round picks this year, then two first-round picks next year, and they also have two twos next year as well. So they have the capital. They want to move up from 5-1 to get Burrow, and we don't know if the Bengals will say yes, but they have the capital to move up.
Yeah, that's what they've built, you know, the whole tank for Tua situation that we've kind of joked about with Miami the last year. And, you know, they had a ton of cap space and they've got a ton of draft picks, almost unprecedented with the number of picks and money that they had for free agency. So they set themselves up to make these moves. They spent a lot in the free agency, and now we'll see what they'll do in the draft, if they use this capital to move up or if they'll sit tight and try to build their team with multiple players instead of just going for that one big fish.
I know with the draft, it all depends on if you're going to go best player available or what needs you have and where your pick does fall. But this is such a loaded wide receiver class. You're going to have some first-round talent wide receivers go in the second round. What would your approach be on wide receivers in this draft, since there's going to be a lot going in the first three rounds of the 2020 NFL draft?
Yeah, this year there's really, with the wide receivers, the corners, and the offensive linemen, really kind of the best groups overall that I've seen in a long time, maybe ever, as far as scouting in my time. So what you don't want to do is overvalue a position. You always hear about best available or value. All teams always talk about what they need when they value a player. So no one ever truly just picks the best player available. They always factor in what they need for their team. But this year, with so many receivers and so many corners, you don't have to overvalue, meaning if he's truly a second-round pick or third-round pick, you don't push them up into the first round just because you're desperate to have one. So what happens is you'll see a lot more teams, I think, be patient and know that they can get a receiver, corner, offensive lineman in the second and third rounds, as opposed to trying to reach for a position. Let's say this year's the safety position is not strong, or the tight end position, where guys who are truly third-round picks and you're pushing them up and taking them much, much higher than what they should be. This year, I think there'll be a lot more true value for those positions, receiver, corner, and offensive line.
Mark Ross here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. Derrick Henry just had a sensational postseason run. He's been really awesome the last 2 years. He's 26 years old. Is on the franchise tag. If you were running the Tennessee Titans, what would that framework be if you're trying to give him a long-term extension, or would you be skeptical to give him that long-term extension just with how running backs quickly go?
Yeah, that's the big concern. Any other position, you want to lock up a guy, but just because of the wear and tear that running backs take and the Todd Gurley contract, David Johnson, Devontae Freeman in the last few years, that we've seen big contracts, and then those guys just go downhill and do not produce anywhere close to what they had produced to the point where they earned those contracts. And with Derrick Henry, the type of runner he is and so many carries that he had last year, you'll really have to be concerned with if he'll be able to replicate the success that he had last year, especially down the stretch. When he really just carried the whole offense, and Tannehill was only throwing for, you know, 92, 78 yards, whatever, 200 yards a game, and they were still winning games just because Derrick was rushing close to 200 yards. So I would be very skeptical and very concerned with that, with giving him a long-term deal, and then his inability to produce the same way.
With how inconsistent Ryan Tannehill has been over the course of his career, and injuries have played a role in that, do you believe that was the right move to give him that four-year contract with Tennessee?
I think that they believed it was, and they feel a little bit strongly about him. But sometimes you do things with your heart instead of with your mind and with your eyes. And really down the stretch, as I just mentioned, it was Derrick Henry. And to pay Ryan Tannehill that much to say, okay, well, let's replicate this success we had, really historic success where, you know, they won the playoff games with the first time since Terry Bradshaw in, 74, 75, a guy throwing for under 100 yards a game, winning games. And Derrick Henry, you know, historic run that he had, however long it was, where guys were rushing for that. So I was very skeptical of Tannehill being able to sustain the success. And I think in the long term, much like the Nick Foles contract, where you kind of paid him $100 million last year for a couple games of high-level play as opposed to his entire career. To me, it's felt very similar with Tannehill, where you're paying him for just a couple games throughout the middle of the year as opposed to the total body work of his career, and specifically down the stretch where he needed to make plays. And in my view, he did not.
When we look at the Brady market, and we don't really know what truly was the market, but you see these two decisions that we could throw out there. Do you go 4 years of Tannehill or 2 years of Brady in Tennessee? And then for the Colts, too, they elected, and who knows if Brady would even want to go there, but they went 1 year of Phillip Rivers, and maybe they could have thrown a two-year contract out to Tom Brady. How about that decision-making with Tennessee and also Indianapolis when looking at what did transpire in this offseason?
Yeah, I think really they're all just one-year deals. And I know you said two and four, and with that, those are the contracts, but really, you'll know who Ryan Tannehill is from the start of next season. It won't take long. I mean, the first couple games, he'll kind of reveal himself very quickly. The defenses for teams for next year on the schedule will have the whole offseason game plan for him and say, okay, prove it right from the start. Whereas Tom Brady, we know who he is. I mean, the greatest quarterback of all time. And that's really, he's 43. Who knows how much he was kind of declining last year as well. But, hey, he's got enough left to at least win the Super Bowl this year, and you know he can do it. Much more weapons this year, so you know, I would have rolled the dice. The Tom Brady situation was definitely, if I had to get myself into one, I'm going with a guy that's won six Super Bowls and has proven that he's going to get you in the playoffs every year, and you're going to at least be right at the AFC Championship game. So that was the route I would have gone.
Were you surprised Brady in New England did not continue, and now that he's in Tampa Bay?
Definitely. Of course, you heard the rumors and the scuttlebutt about he doesn't want to be there. They're not going to work it out. And of course, the history of the Patriots letting go those veteran players. But you just thought Tom Brady would be exempt from that, what he's done, what he's accomplished. The owner coming out saying he's like the son, you know, Bob Kraft saying that. You just thought Tom Brady would be different and he would be a Patriot for life. It still is a little bit surreal. Of course, it'll be extremely funny to see him trotting out his first game, whenever that may be, in a Tampa uniform. So it still is a little funny to think about it, and something I definitely didn't think would have happened.
Last one for Mark Ross, who's been great with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, when you make a pick, you think you got the pick right, but a situation with the Bears, this is a huge year for Mitch Trubisky. How tough is it when you make that pick to give up on a player, especially when you make that pick so high up and maybe you're holding on an extra year or two to see that if it's going to work or not?
Well, you know what, again, in the draft, no matter every pick we ever made, we thought this guy was going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's the confidence you have. And of course, that's not realistic, but you always think that going in. And for what the Bears gave up, number one, just trading picks just to move up a spot. And number two, passing on two Hall of Fame players, potential in Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, to take this guy who hasn't even been really just serviceable. I mean, that makes it hurt even more. So that makes you even invest even more. Say, we have to try to keep giving this guy a chance to prove us ourselves right because of what we gave up and who got taken after him, who was far, far superior. So, I mean, Mitchell Trubisky's kind of been the same. You look for consistency with players and what they do. This was kind of the Mitchell Trubisky we've seen these couple years in the NFL. Was the same Mitchell Trubisky that we kind of saw in college, where just wasn't a really big playmaker, had some skills. So I think at this point the Bears kind of know who he is, but just are hoping with one last shot that something magically will turn around for him.
Mark Ross is an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mark Ross. And also remember, 30-minute editions of NFL Total Access air Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern on the NFL Network. Mark, good luck to you and your family. Good health, and appreciate the time.
Great, Zach. Thank you.
No problem. There's Mark Ross. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, you heard about that Derrick Henry contract that we brought up in the conversation. Are they going to give him an extension? Are they going to get a long-term deal done with Derrick Henry? We'll talk about that next on the Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff with Mark Ross. When I look at Tennessee, and I also look at Indianapolis, just right away, when you see that the Titans gave Ryan Tannehill 4 years, and the Indianapolis Colts gave Phillip Rivers 1 year, I look back at both of those decisions, and I think they missed a massive opportunity to improve their football team. I really do. Now, who knows if Tom Brady would have gone to the Indianapolis Colts? Would he have gone to Tennessee? I think he would have. So if you are the Titans, ask yourself this. Would you rather have Ryan Tannehill for 4 years, or would you rather have Brady for 2 years? I think it's a no-brainer. I would rather have Tom Brady for 2 years than inconsistent Ryan Tannehill for 4 years. A Ryan Tannehill that last year didn't play 16 games, was okay, was good, gave that team more life, but it was mainly Derrick Henry. I know in the playoff win up against New England, he had two big third down throws. But if you are, let's say, Tom Brady, and you're on that Tennessee team, let's say Brady's on Tennessee last year. If they're up by 10 against Kansas City, who's more likely to win that game, Brady or Tannehill? I go Brady. And same thing I asked about the 49ers. Even though the 49ers should keep Jimmy G, if Brady had a 10-point lead and was with the 49ers with 7.5 minutes to play in a Super Bowl, he's not blowing that lead. No way. So if I am running the Tennessee Titans, and it was presented to me that Brady goes to Vrabel, Brady goes to John Robinson, I want to come play for you guys. What's the cost? 2 years, $50 million. Okay. Now let's say they get it work on the salary cap. It works. Do you give Tannehill a 4-year deal, which I believe is for $118 million, or do you go with Tom Brady for 2 years at $50 million? I don't even hesitate. I don't hesitate for a single second. With 100% certainty, I would take Tom Brady over Ryan Tannehill, even at this stage of Tom Brady's career, where he's about to be 43. I would think there's a better chance that I win with Ryan Tannehill not on my team, and you take him and you take Tom Brady for 2 years compared to Tannehill for 4 years. I really do believe that. But that's not the way that Tennessee elected to operate things. And then when you see the Indianapolis Colts, here's the one that Indy, and I don't believe Brady would have ever gone to Indianapolis. I don't give a crap what's reported, what's stated. There is no way with what happened with Deflategate, Tom Brady's going to Indianapolis. I don't think that would have happened at all. But let's say Brady got a little bit crazy with older age and goes, you know, I'd go to Indy. I go anyway. Yeah, I really want to stick it to Belichick and the Patriots. Yeah, I'll go to Indianapolis. Oh, you'll give me a 2-year, $50 million contract? If you're running the Colts, if you're Chris Ballard, I put you in the shoes of Chris Ballard, and I go to you 2 years, $50 million guaranteed for Tom Brady with incentives up to $60 million or 1 year's at Phillip Rivers for Phillip Rivers on $25 million guaranteed. What do you do? I commit to Brady for 2 years over Phillip Rivers. And once again, that's one that I don't even think twice about. But that's not what those two organizations did. And who knows if Brady even wanted to go there. But if Brady wanted to go there, it is inexcusable to me to give 4 years to Ryan Tannehill when you could have given two to Tom Brady. And for the Colts, if you wanted to go to Indy, it's inexcusable to me to give 1 year to Philip Rivers when you could have got 2 years of the GOAT in TB12. That's just how I feel in the situation. Now, circling back to Tennessee, they gave the franchise tag to Derrick Henry. And when we get to running backs, after seeing what just transpired with Todd Gurley, you wonder how this affects the market moving forward. I would believe Carolina's going to pay Christian McCaffrey. I would believe the Giants are going to pay Saquon Barkley. And you would think Tennessee is going to pay Derrick Henry. But with that concern of what happened with the David Johnson, what happened with the Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, who got offered a fair deal last year and didn't take it and now is making less with the Broncos, and you see how quickly the expiration date happens with running backs, so that's always been the unknown. 1 year they're great, the next year they're done. If you're the Tennessee Titans, you just got Henry on the franchise tag and he signed it, and they're still going to work to have until mid-July to get a long-term extension done. Do you give him that long-term extension? Now, he's 26. First 2 years of his career were not good. The last 2 years were brilliant. They were stellar. So it's not a one-hit wonder. But with the amount of carries and him being the main source of offense on that football team, with still an uncertainty at the quarterback that you just committed to for 4 years, do you extend Derrick Henry? Or, since he signed that franchise tag, and that doesn't mean he can't hold out or go along those lines. You know, that doesn't mean that. Do you give Derrick Henry that extension or just hope he comes to camp, shows up on time, good to go, and then after this year you'll go from there? You look at recent running back deals that have been given out, and we mentioned Gurley. That was a 4-year, $60 million deal. Ezekiel Elliott, main source of offense for the Cowboys, held out, got a 6-year, $90 million contract. What is Derrick Henry going to get? Would 4 years, $60 million get it done? Would you maybe go to 4 years at $13.5 million, $54 million total, and you get a little bit more guaranteed money? And you could structure that contract where you get out of it if he's not great in the final year of that deal. Would you maybe go 3 years? Let's see. If they wanted to make him, Zeke is the highest paid at 15 and a half. If you want to give him a shorter deal, would you do $16.5 million over 3 years? If you're Derrick Henry, or if you're the Titans, would you do $16.5 million over 3 years? That's a 3-year deal, $49.5 million. And if he wants a 5-year deal, but you have to imagine he's going to want a Zeke contract or close to it. I don't think you go 6 years. So when you look at this, if you're going to that 4 or 5 range, do you maybe take an extra million or two less? 4 years, $14 million gets you 56. It's a tough situation here. It is. And he is that main source of offense. And he's going to look for as many years as possible. And when you get into that many years possible range, if you want to up those years on the contract, you got to take a little bit less. You got to take a little bit less. That's probably what's going to happen. When I look at the salaries for running backs, average per year, Zeke 15, Le'Veon Bell 13, David Johnson 13, Derrick Henry on the tag at 10, Kenyon Drake at 8.4, Melvin Gordon at 8, Saquon Barkley right now at 7.7. You got to think he's going to either be the second highest paid running back if they get a long-term deal or first. And he'll get more than $13.1 million. So if you want to do a 3-4-5-year deal, you're looking at paying $14, $15, $16 million. That's what you're looking at. Do you do that for a 26-year-old running back who's played 4 years? If for Henry, I would actually do it. And here's why. And I know you can say the same thing about Todd Gurley. But for Henry, a reason why I would do it, and you go back to the injury history, I know he broke his leg at Alabama. I don't think he's had any major injuries since. Anything that gets you too concerned, you got to double check that. But if you're asking me, do you think Derrick Henry has 3 years left of productive football? I do think so. So by the fourth year, he starts to decline. I'm okay with that. So I give him a four-year deal. That's what I would do. I give him 4 years at $15, $16 million a year. I'd be okay with doing that. 36 past the hour. It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we release the bracket of food.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I love this music. Saturday night, we should have been getting ready for a Final Four. Now we know that's not the case. Monday night, we should have been on the air getting you set for the national championship game, and then we would have been receiving after the game one shining moment. Unfortunately, that's not the case this year as we're all cooped up in our house with the coronavirus pandemic. So every show's doing a bracket. Well, we're going to do a bracket too, and it's the Zach Gelb Show Food Bracket Extravaganza. We're going to make it very simple for you. We're only going to go 16 teams, and in all the seating, myself, Mike Biseglia, and Sean Mraz, who's not even on this show, but he's a friend of the program, to take a line from the movie Blue Chips, he was even helping us out a little bit. And I don't know if Mikey B was okay with it. Maybe that was an illegal recruiting tactic by me. Myself and Mike came up with some ideas, but I wanted to bounce it off another large human being. And I also wanted to tap into another food brain, another good source of food information, so I did that with Sean Mraz. We have four regions. It's Stu's soup, supper region, after the great Stu Kovacs. So we'll find out what is in the Stu supper region. We also have, for Tom DiBenedetto, D-Ben's diner region. Then we have, for Mike Biseglia, Biseg's buffet region. And then we have, for yours truly, the Gelb's grub region. Mikey B, the selection committee chairman, are you there?
I am here, Zach. Yes, looking forward to going through the different regions and unveiling tonight's bracket.
Well, let's first go with the number one seeds.
Okay.
When we go to Stu's supper region, the number one seed is?
That would be Chicago deep dish style pizza.
Some Chicago pizza. The next number one seed, we go to the Gelb's grub region. Number one seed is what?
The Philly cheesesteak.
Ooh, with the little onions and whiz. Double sauteed, a little Bill Raftery. Onions! We then move to D-Ben's diner region.
The number one seed is Texas BBQ.
Texas BBQ. And then we'll take a look at the Biseg's buffet region.
The number one seed is the New York bagel.
So you have the Chicago pizza, the Texas BBQ, the Philly cheesesteak, and the New York bagel as your four number one seeds. When I do my analysis here, I'm a little bit surprised that no Kansas City BBQ was a number one seed, no New Orleans gumbo as a number one seed. And I'll even say, from our friends in Buffalo, no Buffalo and the number one seed. I'm a little bit surprised, but Chicago deep dish pizza, excellent. Not better than New York pizza, but the one New York representative is a New York bagel. That works for me. Love a Philly cheesesteak. And I've been to Texas before. And if you see the size of me, you know that I have devoured a lot of Texas BBQ. So now, let's go region by region, and we'll just give you the four seeds in each region to make this a little bit easier. So in Stu's supper region, the number one seed is the Chicago pizza. Chicago pizza will be playing the number four seed, that is?
The Idaho potato.
Ooh, a little Idaho potato. I know our great friends from Boise, when Mraz and DA did take a trip out there, they sent back some great potatoes. The number two seed in Stu's supper region
would be the New England style clam chowder.
Love me some New England clam chowder. And then in the number three seed flying New England clam chowder
is the Nashville hot chicken.
Nashville hot chicken. Absolutely delicious. So the early thoughts, we won't pick a winner here. I believe Chicago Pizza has their sights on the Elite Eight. Would you agree with that over the Idaho Potato?
I would agree with that, although don't discount the potato. It's a versatile food. You can use the Idaho Potato. You can mash it. You can bake it. You could add cheese to it. So as deep as the Chicago Pizza is, and that is a deep Chicago Pizza, don't be surprised if Idaho gives it fits based on its versatility.
I really do believe the Idaho Potato can give a good first half run. And you're right, great versatility. You could also make some French fries out of the Idaho Potato too.
Good point.
In the second half, I just think the experience and the national recognition of the Chicago Pizza will loom large. So this is an exciting region. Then we have the New England Clam Chowder, Nashville Hot Chicken. That could be an early upset alert. You know, if I had to make a guess right now, I like the Nashville Hot Chicken over the New England Clam Chowder.
Zach, you know what? I'm going to agree with you there. New England Clam Chowder, of course, has been going on for centuries and centuries. We've been talking about it. But what makes the Nashville Hot Chicken so impressive is what it's been able to do lately and how the run it's had maybe in the last 5 years nationally. So you get two contrasting styles. You know, old school brand in the clam chowder versus the hot chicken, which is, to be cliche here, the hot new item.
And the New England region has been filled with success the last two decades with their sports team. So the stock of New England clam chowder continues to rise. But Nashville, as of late, Nashville Predators, they've been a team that we've seen get to the Stanley Cup final not that long ago. So maybe some people are going to Nashville for a hot chicken. And you're right, it's a hotbed area as of late. So there could be a lot of people with hot Nashville hot chicken experience. We go to my region, Gelb's Grub region. The number one seed is the Philly cheesesteak, and the number four seed, that will be the Georgia peach cobbler. Then we go to the number two seed. It's going to be the Maryland crab cake going up against the wings from Buffalo. When we look at this region, yes, it's Philly cheesesteak up against the Georgia peach cobbler and the Maryland crab cake up against the Buffalo wing. The Philly cheesesteak is iconic. And I've had a lot of Philly cheesesteaks in my day, and I'll continue to have a lot of Philly cheesesteak. When this coronavirus pandemic is over, I'll be running to go get another Philly cheesesteak. If you had to pick the 2, 3, or 4 seed, the Maryland crab cake, the Buffalo wing, or the Georgia peach cobbler to take down the Philly cheesesteak, who would be that one selection that could upset the Philly cheesesteak?
Well, Zach, that's a great question. I have to say, just looking at this 2-3 matchup, I think we're in for a really historic battle. We have two foods that have such great history, come from two areas of the country that are so well known for these items and their food. That game really, really intrigues me. I'm going to be really fascinated to see who wins that one. And I think whoever comes out of that has a chance to defeat the Philly cheesesteak. The Georgia peach cobbler, it's a nice dessert. It's cute, but I don't think it has the legs to last with something that's been around and has been on so many food shows like the Philly cheesesteak.
D-Ben's Diner Region. Mikey B, take it away. Texas BBQ is the one seed. Who are they playing with the number four seed?
They're going up against the St. Louis Fried Ravioli.
I may have to ask Craig Berube a little bit about the St. Louis Fried Ravioli. Not very familiar with it. Got to do my homework on them. I will do some intense scouting over the next 24 hours. And in the D-Ben Diner region, the number two seed is going to be Cincinnati Chili. And then I will give you the honors of saying the number three seed.
And this is what... I'm still stunned to see them here. At three is the Kansas City BBQ.
Yeah, this is a tough selection committee, which we're part of the selection committee, but we'll blame it on about six or seven other people that we didn't name. I'm surprised in reviewing this, and maybe we had a few glasses of wine and some few beers when we were making these decisions, which we can't rule that out of the equation, how the Kansas City BBQ is not a one seed or at least a two seed. That's a little disrespect from the folks with the Kansas City BBQ, but hey, there's a chance. I think that is a three seed that could get to the Final Four, not only the Final Four, maybe the national championship game. I'm looking forward to a potential matchup with Texas BBQ up against the Kansas City BBQ. Who has the better BBQ? And then finally, in the Bisseg's Buffet region, number one seed New York Bagel going up against number four, the Minneapolis Juicy Lucy, which is a hamburger with the cheese inside the burger. This was a late addition by Mraz. He was pushing for it. He was in Minneapolis for a Super Bowl a few years back. The Minneapolis Juicy Lucy is a dangerous, I think a dangerous four seed. Now, the New York bagel, I love it. Absolutely love it. You could put lox on the bagel, whitefish on the bagel, tuna on the bagel. That is going to be the best 1-4 matchup, I think.
Zach, I am complete agreement with you here. If there was a one seed to get upset, it would be two patties of meat stuffed with cheese. If anything could take down the iconic New York bagel, it is cheese and meat. I would not be surprised if that four seed snuck past the New York Bagel, Zach. I'm keeping an eye on that, and I think that could be upset city when everything's said and done here on this extravaganza.
And the Juicy Lucy is not kosher, but that's all right, because even though I'm a man of Jewish faith, I'm not kosher. I'll be participating in eating a Juicy Lucy next time I'm in Minneapolis. And then finally, we talk about the Maryland Crab Cake and the Buffalo Wing being a tremendous matchup. This 2-3, I think it's the best 2-3 matchup. You see the New England Clam Chowder, Nashville Hot Chicken, Cincinnati Chili, Kansas City BBQ. Also that Crab Cake up against the Wing. The New Orleans Gumbo being a 2 seed up against the Maine Lobster Roll as the 3 seed. That's a matchup where I may have to favor our friends that are LSU fans.
And you know, don't often see a 2-3 seed where conceivably both of these food items could go on to win the extravaganza. Somebody's going to go home in the first round. Another food item is going to advance. This is one of those 2-3 seeds. You could see it going any direction. When you've got lobster and you've got gumbo, I mean, you could argue they're both one seeds, Zach.
All right, there we go. Mikey B, great stuff. The Zach Gelb Show food bracket extravaganza. Those are the 16 seeds tomorrow. We will have an Elite Eight. We'll find out who's going to go from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight, and we'll eventually find out who is the best food in the Zach Gelb Show food bracket extravaganza. Coming on back. News brief next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.